Hey, welcome to Sinay Capital Full Year 2019 Conference Call. During the introduction hosted by Mr. Miguel Gil Mata, Sinay Capital Chief Executive Officer, and Mrs. Yvonne Teixeira, Sinay Capital Chief Financial Officer, all participants will be on a listen-only mode. After the introduction, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. And right now, I would like to turn the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Miguel Gil Mata. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, hello, everyone. And welcome and thank you for attending Sona Capital 2019 Full Year Results Conference Call. I have here with me Yvonne Teixeira, our CFO, also Nuno Parreiro, Head of Planning and Control at Sona Capital and from IR, and also Elena Almeida from our IR team. I will go through some main achievements regarding Sona Capital portfolio strategy, and then we will also go through key highlights per business unit and on in terms of consolidated results, and then we'll be happy to answer your questions. Starting with portfolio strategy, I think I should highlight three main events during the course of 2019. The first of them would be the sale of Race. We believe we crystallized value with this transaction, and at the same time, we were able to open a new cycle of development for the company with a new shareholder structure, always ensuring that its employees will also have a benefit outcome of this transaction. Second event in the energy business unit is the acquisition of Futura, which is a small Spanish company which could help us further integrate our energy business. It should allow us to improve our skills in the sourcing of natural gas and carbon emissions allowances, both of which are an advantage for our cogeneration activity. And it will also support us in terms of know-how and also in terms of portfolio management in the sale of electricity produced through our producing units after the post-feed-in tariffs scenario. As an upside, it will also give us entrance into the Spanish market, where Futura has extensive knowledge and network of contacts, which could help us find new investment opportunities in this market, namely in terms of cogeneration assets. Third event in terms of portfolio strategy that I would point out is the acquisition of Urban Fit, which we have already rebranded as PUMP, which is a way to extend the presence of our premium low-cost positioning to the north of Portugal. Going now to our business unit and starting with energy. I would like first to give you a quick note on the biomass-fired cogeneration plant that we are developing in Mangualde. The operation will start and ramping up on the third quarter of 2020 and should be at full steam ahead before the summer. This is the largest ever organic growth project that we have done in energy in Capwatt with a significant investment, and should yield double-digit EBITDA and return on capital employed, and add a stable flow of cash for at least 25 years, which is the feed-in tariff period. We are very happy with the development of this complex, highly ambitious project. In our production business, where we include both cogeneration and renewables, and also all the costs of the central structure of the company, Capwatt, fourth quarter 19 results were impacted by some effects, both at top line and EBITDA level. First of all, a change in the remuneration regime of two of our power plants, a scheduled maintenance stop for Tagol, one of the most important of our plants, and also some costs related with expansion plan that we've been investments for the future in our growth that were booked in the fourth quarter. And also, to some extent, an increase in carbon allowances cost, which was also higher than last year. Let me please tell you that we only have two power plants that need carbon allowances, and even on a very steep increase in carbon allowance prices, the impact was below €500,000, so this should not be a major concern going forward. Turnover increased 4% over the course of the year, and EBITDA stood at €15.2 million, which is 2.7% below last year, so roughly in line with last year. Retail and trade business that we are treating as a separate unit, because it is indeed a very different business, have a contribution of nearly €90 million in terms of top line, and an EBITDA of €0.6 million. And I would just like to add a final note on our operation in Mexico, where we are currently analyzing quite a significant number of potential deals. So the market looks very promising. We haven't signed any agreement as yet, but we are very confident for the near future. Talking about industrial engineering now, Adira, in 2019, the results were still below our expectations and reflect the ongoing restructuring process, which brought significant changes to not only to the teams, but a full reorganization of the company, in particular in terms of commercial area, commercial procedures and strategy and tactics. We are still making additional efforts to adapt cost structure. We have identified a great number of efficiency opportunities and optimizations, and we are further streamlining the company. We have a turnover of slightly below €10 million, yielding negative EBITDA of 3.6 million euros, which is mainly a consequence of low activity. We believe we've mentioned before that we have entered an agreement with Mitsubishi for the North American market, USA, Canada, and Mexico. This is an exclusivity agreement, and we are also targeting similar agreements with other major players in different geographies in order to enhance our distribution capability and increase sales. Turning now to fitness. We've integrated Urban Fit and added another three openings in 2019. Pump Seychelles, Pump Cascais, and already in early 2020, Solinga Matosinhos. And as a consequence, now we are operating a portfolio of 37 clubs, 21 of them being Solinka, 15 Pump, and one club under the brand One. And we have now more than 104,000 active members. We stick to our plan of reaching 70 clubs by 2022, so we will continue to expand with some ambition, both organically and through acquisition, in case we find interesting opportunities. And we will be targeting mainly the metropolitan areas of Porto and Lisbon. Turnover last year reached €41.3 million. That's an increase of 14%, mostly due to the number of active members growing. And EBITDA went 16.1% above last year to €12.7 million, and also the EBITDA margin gained 0.5 percentage point to 30.8%. Recurrent EBIT reached €3.6 million, 57% above last year, and EBIT margin also went up to 8.7%. So overall, increase in profitability and volume in the business unit. Hospitality. We had inclusion of Aqualuz Lagos in the Algarve 1 year ago, and so we are now operating six units, three of them in Porto, two in Troia, and that one in Algarve. We will open an additional unit in Lisbon, as you all know, in the second half of 2021. That's in the Santa Apolónia railway station, an iconic building on a privileged location in Lisbon. That will be our first unit in Lisbon. And we have just signed a contract to open a new unit in Porto, also in 2021, which is also in a privileged location, at the prime location at Avenida dos Aliados, the main avenue in the center of Porto. And these two units will allow us to expand and gain scale effects broadly on a capital-light approach, even though in Santa Apolónia railway station, we will be making relevant investment. We will not own the building, but we will pay for the refurbishment. We have been also improving occupancy and price, thus maximizing RevPAR. And RevPAR went up by 1.7% in 2019, and the turnover increased 16.4%. We continue to work unit by unit to improve profitability, and as a result, EBITDA increased 56% compared to 2018 to reach €6.7 million and generated a margin of 24.1%, 6 percentage points above the previous year. And EBIT was a record for this operation at €1.7 million, more than doubling the previous year, and we reached 6.2% of EBIT margin. In Troia operations, as you know, a small but instrumental unit for the objective of promoting Troia as a touristic and leisure destination with high standards of quality of service, environmental sustainability, through an integrated management of infrastructures, Atlantic ferries, for instance, Troia Marina, the supermarket, the Roman ruins, sports center, the golf course, and many others. In this unit, I was saying, we have an EBITDA of €1.7 million, which is almost doubling of EBITDA since 2018. And we are seeing very positive trends. For instance, the performance of Atlantic ferries, which is a leading indicator of all the activity in the peninsula, registered a large number of travelers and traffic vehicles, and has been one of the major drivers of the positive performance of this segment. I will now hand over the conference to Yvonne. Yvonne, please go ahead.
Thank you, Miguel. Good morning to everyone. I would like to thank you again for attending our full year conference call. In relation to the real estate monetization plan, as you know, basically the disposal of these assets is the fuel to invest in our corporate strategy. In Troia, we have sold 33 residential touristic units, amounting to roughly €17 million, and we still have six promissory sale and purchase agreement and reserves amounting to €3.5 million, which should be added to an additional bid of €0.5 million. Considering so far the 446 touristic residential units that we have developed, we now have 61 units available, of which 32 are Ocean Village, 26 plots and only 3 apartments. And we are meeting and maintaining the goal of running out of stock in approximately 1.5 to 2 years. Regarding the other real estate assets that we still hold on the portfolio, sale deeds reached 20 million euros and include the following major assets: Metropolis for 6.3 million euros, Crotalia, which is a plot in Algarve for 4 million euros, and Center and Allotment 1.5 million euros. Already in 2020, we have completed the sale deed of Casa de Ribeira, which is a quite beautiful plot in the north of Portugal, nearby the river, and Global amount of promissory sales and purchase agreement of 35 million euros. In this 35 million euros, we are including NOP 3, which promissory sale was signed back in 2018, and so far we have not been able to register the deed, but we are confident that we will be pulling this through this year. And a big plot in Maia, Country Club, for the value of 8 million euros, and another allotment in Algarve named Costa d'Ouro for 4.5 million euros. Just a final note on our biggest ticket at this moment, the WTC fund. Selling the fund remains one of our most important objectives, if not the biggest one, in the real estate division. In fact, the disposal of this asset, which we are still developing and marketing and negotiating, will be a key operation regarding the monetization, our monetization plan in the real estate assets. Capital structure. I would like to stress out or to point out our cash flow performance. Basically, our net debt at the end of the year, financial net debt, stood at 141 million euros, an increase of 21.5 million euros. And we managed to increase the debt only on this amount in spite of a significant investment of 52 million euros, mostly on energy and our expansion plan in the fitness was the driver of this increase in the investment, and dividend distribution amounting to 18.5 million euros. And this means that our cash flow from our operations, our business units, and also the cash flow from our real estate disposal plan managed to support both the investment on portfolio and the distribution of some cash back to our shareholders. Therefore, we maintain an adequate capital structure when we consider the group portfolio of assets and business, a net financial debt to EBITDA of 3x plus a loan to value on the real estate assets of 24%. Consolidating all these figures, basically, turnover of our business units stood at 268.8 million euros, a 46.5% increase over last year. Our EBITDA reached 35.3 million euros, growing 8.9%, and EBIT increased 12% to 6.4 million euros. Consolidated turnover stood almost at 300 million euros. Here I should point out the contribution of Tura. As you are aware, it delivers a lot on the top line and basically not so higher figures on the EBITDA level. Anyway, EBITDA level reached 38 million euros, an increase of almost 10%. Our net result at the end of the day still stood negative. 4 to 12 million euros, mostly driven by the disposal of Race, because we had to register a goodwill impairment in Sonae Capital consolidated results of 10.5 million. Regarding shareholder remuneration, complying with our dividend distribution policy and given the results reached in 2019, will propose, the board of directors will propose a distribution of 50 million euros in dividends, 6 cents per share, which correspond to a dividend yield of 8% if we do consider the closing price of the share on 31 December last year. Basically, we are confident that we will maintain an adequate and conservative capital structure, complying fully with our dividend distribution policy. Perspectives and outlook for 2020. As I mentioned a little time before, we need to continue the real estate assets monetization plan. Is key driver of the funding our corporate strategy. In energy, we would need to speed up our positioning as a promoter of integrated energy solutions in Portugal, but also embracing and pursuing new opportunities in Spain and in Mexico. We intend to continue to invest heavily in this business segment. We do consider it to be a main of value creation going forward. The second business unit, we will maintain our investment and speed up the growth plan is fitness. We need to, in fact, take the opportunity of good market trends, and we really think that it's still further value to be extracted in the activity of wellness here in Portugal. Industrial engineering, our most recent business unit, despite the difficulties found in Adira, we do maintain the purpose to invest in the creation of a cluster of technology-driven based companies with strong export vocation and leveraging on Portuguese engineering skills. In short time, we might complete some acquisitions, not material ones in terms of size, but will improve the segment with a build-up logic. Last, hospitality. The sector, as you are aware, is experiencing good winds, and so we will remain active in searching for opportunities for the right price that allow us to expand our scale. However, at the same time, we will remain watchful to potential consolidation movements because we do consider that this is a hot sector in Portugal, and we, as manager of this business unit, would extract value if some movement of consolidation occurs in the market. As final remarks, this was a very important year for Sonae Capital. Despite not closing some big tickets that we have in our pocket, all the hard work has been done in order to pull it through in 2020. Despite the underperformance of Adira, we really think that we are making the path. I'm pretty sure that we are setting foundations to build a bigger Sonae Capital with the potential to generate more value. Thank you, everyone. Now we will be able or available to answer your questions.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Okay, our first question comes from the line of Raul Pinto. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Some questions from my side, if I may. The first one on the WTC fund could you update us when you expect to close the disposal, and can it be still during the first half of this year? Following this, if the disposal is closed in the near term, can we expect an additional extraordinary dividend this year, 2020? Also, could you also give us some visibility on when could you sell the remaining UNOPS in Troia and the real estate of other hotels in operation? Are there any conversations going on already? Also, regarding the nearly 40 million euros that you have in reserves and promissory agreements, including both Troia and other assets, are these broadly in line with valuation from Cushman and Wakefield? And finally, on hospitality, when you say that you can take a position in eventual consolidation movement in the market, what do you consider as a natural move for Sonae Capital? Grow even more, sell the portfolio, or be part of a larger group through a minority stake? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joao. Starting with the WTC fund, we are very active, as you can imagine, in this file, and it's very hard, as you know, also to determine when we can conclude such a transaction, especially taking into account that we are very aware of the intrinsic value of this asset, and will be not available to sell it below what we feel to be the fair value. Having said that, it is possible that we can conclude it in the first half of the year. I would not rule out that possibility. As for whether it should yield a dividend, I believe we can say that according to our dividend policy, the sale of a big ticket as that should yield a dividend. Whether it would be an extraordinary dividend or not, that remains to be seen, and it will depend of a lot of factors. So it's too soon to tell if that could yield an extraordinary dividend. You've also asked about the remaining UNOPS in Troia. I think UNOP 3 is the one that is very hot, and that, as you know, we are only pendent on an administrative issue that we are hoping to overcome soon. As for UNOP 4 and UNOP 1, which are the two other significant assets in Troia, we are working on both those transactions, but we do not have a short-term indication on the conclusion of any of them. They are both very specific products that need a long time to be marketed in the correct way. Also, turning to hospitality.
Just a second. You asked if the promissory sale and purchase agreement that we have signed are in line with the Cashman and Wakefield valuation. We would like to confirm that.
Yes, they are. And in hospitality, whether we should stand at which side of a potential consolidation process, quite honestly, João, it will depend on the terms of that consolidation. We are not a very big player, so that could be an inch in terms of we would probably be on the selling side, but this is not a fact. It could be either one, or it could very well be we would participate on a consolidation movement, keeping a participation. So it's not decided. We just believe that a consolidation movement would create value. We would take care to be on the correct side of a potential transaction.
Basically, we are open to whatever solution that comes up in the market that allows us to extract further value on this. If you ask us if we do consider ourselves going to the market and buy some positions in the hospitality business, I would say that kind of movement is not with high probability of occurring. Basically, we are increasing or improving our portfolio with very opportunistic transactions only in Porto and Lisbon, and we do not envision ourselves as a major hospitality player in Portugal as a consolidator. Anyway, if some opportunities occur that we then might sell all our positioning, hopefully on better terms, considering all the performance improvements we are doing so far, maintaining or not a minority interest on the result of such consolidations, yet to be seen. It would pretty much depend on the terms and the opportunities that arise in the market. Anyway, we are following the market closely because we do consider this season important year as a trend for the hospitality sector in Portugal, and Porto is opening a lot of opportunities also. So we are monitoring this close.
And for sure that the our path and improving our profitability and scale will always help us to get better terms in either type of transaction.
Very clear, thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from the line of Nuno Castro. Your line is now open.
Hello, good morning everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I just have a quick one regarding the new hotel that you mentioned you are going to start operating in Porto in Avenida dos Aliados. I just wanted to know if you could provide some more information regarding this new unit, like what would be the impact on the segment regarding to the revenues and sales, if you could provide some measure of magnitude regarding this new unit. Thank you.
No, it's a 70 bedroom unit. I think that would be the best way to have an idea of the scale. So it would be well roughly in line with our unit in Ribeira.
It will be operated under the brand The House also.
So it will be to some extent a similar concept in a very privileged location. So I think that could be used as a proxy.
Thank you.
Okay, our next question comes from the line of Bruno Bessa. Your line is now open.
Hello, good morning. So some questions from my side. First, focusing on the energy division, you mentioned opportunities for growth in Mexico and Spain. I wonder if you could provide more color on this. And also related with this division, if you could provide visibility on if there is any other plant entering in a different tariff regime in 2020, and how could this affect margins. So this will be the two questions for the energy division. Going into fitness, if you could provide also visibility on your expected new openings in 2020, and also regarding or related with this division, it seems that all the largest players are a bit eager for growth at this stage, and I would like to have your view on the behavior of the different players, and if you fear that the market becomes undisciplined over the coming years. So this will be fitness, last division, industrial engineering. Despite sales having significantly fallen in 2019, staff costs and external services and supplies increased by 12% and 41% year-on-year. Could you provide more color on this and your expectations going forward? Also, gross margin has deteriorated. Is this all due to impairments? If you could also provide expectations on gross margin evolution for 2020, would be appreciated. And the last question on this division, you've mentioned restructuring measures in Adira. Which kind of restructuring are we talking about? If you could also provide visibility on the cost savings coming from these restructuring measures, and also the one-off restructuring costs to implement these measures. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruno. Starting with energy. Mexico and Spain, I would say two different stories. Spain, we would have a much more opportunistic approach on a mature market that in terms of cogeneration is not showing very significant growth trend. We do have, in spite of that, quite a number of potential opportunities in terms of refurbishing of existing plants. So I think that would be the main driver in Spain. Mexico is a different scenario. Mexico, in terms of cogeneration and in terms of industry in general, is very strong. It's growing very strongly, and cogeneration units are scarce. The fundamentals for that technology in Mexico are extremely favorable, and the competitive landscape is also favorable. There are no big players in this segment in Mexico, and the market size is huge. Of course, on the downside, you have different currencies, forex risks, you have political different political setting. It's a different geography altogether. But two different trends. In Mexico, we are pursuing quite a few promising deals, and we are increasing slightly the team size that's resident in Mexico, and building a strong pipeline. Things take time in that country. We need to have a strong pipeline so that we can reach some rhythm or momentum. In terms of tariffs post feed-in, of course, on a new normal where you sell electricity on different assumptions, profitability is under stress. But on the other hand, the capability to reach agreements, long-term agreements that are free from regulatory risk, is a plus. When you look at solar, the economics are simpler to grasp, and if you have a good power purchase agreement, you will necessarily be looking at lower returns. That's because the risk is lower, the complexity is lower. On the other hand, if you look at cogeneration, where the customization of plants is very high, the barriers to new entrants are also much higher, then you could be looking at very attractive profitabilities. So it's just a question of different way of building the business model. But please, I want to make sure that you are aware that without a feed-in tariff, you would still more probably be looking at predetermined tariffs. Only the counterpart that determines the tariff is the off-taker of your energy, and not a regulated tariff. But in concept, it's a similar business model where you have a very clear estimation of your future cash flows at the time of investing. I will leave the fitness question to Yvonne and go into industrial engineering. You asked that in spite of the sales have decreasing, we have increased personnel costs and external services. Most of this was due to, in terms of personnel costs, a contribution from one-offs connected to restructuring on one side, and in terms of external services, also related to a number of initiatives that we have undertaken to restructure also our operations. So this was a sharp spike that we do not see going to continue going forward, and we should accelerate our cost-saving efforts, and we do not predict very high one-off costs with this restructuring. Some, but not very significant. And finally, in terms of the gross margin, yes, you are right. Most of the impact in gross margin had to do with either explicit impairments or implicit booking of costs related to previous sales that were done with low margin. It's important to notice that there are many orders that have over 1 year of cycle to be completed. From the moment that we start negotiating the deal until we book the order and then manufacture and deliver the machine, it might well be over 1 year, in some cases even 2 years. So the lag of this type of business is big. On the upside, it's also once you reach cruising speed, then it also becomes very stable. So that's the upside. I will hand over to Yvonne for the fitness question.
Okay. Bruno, regarding fitness and what are our plans for 2020 in terms of openings, what we are considering so far is 9 new additional units opened as greenfield projects. So anyway, we are actively scanning the market. Should we find any acquisition opportunity with the right price, of course, this number could increase. You are correct when you say that competition is tough and everybody is trying to enter the market and increase the number of units. I really think that you see that mostly in the low-cost segment. And we, in fact, are noticing that our mainstream segment operated through Solinka is quite a solid segment. We have managed to, in spite of in 2019, we only opened one Solinka, if I recall right. Basically, that segment grew both in terms of number of members and increased heavily its profitability. We are aware of the tough competition on low-cost side. That's basically why we decided to operate in all segments in the market. I would see a potential danger of competition entering in Portugal with a budget segment. We do not have any operating brand in Portugal offering budget opportunities or budget service. I would say that will be the main challenge to the positive trend that market is feeling so far. I really do think that Portugal as a market has a lot to go deep before it becomes crowded enough. You know, the penetration rates in Portugal are quite low. The trend of increasing awareness and on wellness will surely increase the market dimension in Portugal. So we are really positive on the trends and the opportunities that the market is delivering on this segment so far. I really think that the players that we are that are going to win are players that have cracked the code right regarding retention and customer experience. And in this particular area, I would say that no one in the market so far could challenge the SEO Fitness capabilities and process in that area.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, our next question comes from the line of Richard Court. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thank you for making yourself available for questions. My question is just on your debt, and in particular the debt maturity profile. In the 2018 annual report, it was disclosed that €67 million was due this year. And then also you have the bond that is due of roughly about €40 million due in 2021. Just how does that debt maturity profile look today, given that your debt has increased marginally from the end of 2018? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Regarding Sonae Capital debt, financial debt, we ended 2019 with €141 million, roughly. Basically, we have refinanced the €40 million euro bonds last year, and currently we do not have too much pressure on the payment schedule of our debt. We have increased a little bit our debt, is sure, but we will be issuing green bonds to finance the biomass cogeneration plant project, which is a €50 million investment, and with a maturity of 17 years. So currently we have financed all the investment with available liquidity and credit lines from the group. So this maturity profile, when we issue the bonds, which we are planning to do so as soon as the unit starts to operate, will be longer. But basically, currently we have an average debt life of 1.9 years that will increase surely to an average of around 4 years when we issue the bonds. So not so many pressure on the debt repayment schedule so far. We are quite comfortable with the debt repayments to be fully funded, not only by the real estate asset disposals, but also by the cash flow that our business units are delivering in spite of the heavy investment that we are being doing.
All right. Thank you very much for that.
Okay. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Okay, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, I think we need to thank you again for attending our conference call, full year results. We will not probably be having a conference call on the first quarter, first quarter results, as it is not a particularly important season for the company. So we will see you again on July 2020 when we have our first half year results for this year. Thank you very much, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Bye bye. Thank you.
Okay, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.